I was born bold.
Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today.
Melbourne Airport Parking. Zero cost drive-up parking for all essential travel until June 30.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Good morning, everyone. Friday, fun Friday. Yoo-hoo-hoo. May the 22nd it is. Breakfast for Melbourne's Airport Parking. Zero cost drive-up parking, and our great friends at Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne, that's Red Energy. Dustin Fletcher's going to join us this morning. His son is not going down the AFL path. He's off to the States to pundit in the college system. Wonder what the old man thinks about that. He joins us on the line. Welcome, Dusty.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Pretty excited.
Did it ever cross your mind before we get into young Mason? Because there's a couple of guys of your vintage that have gone over and done very well.
I probably had the one chance, really, and that was back when I was 30, I think I was. And, they did come over and have a bit of a look, and I did have a punt for a little bit. But in the end, I think I got another couple of years of the Bombers and went down that path, which was good.
Hey, Dustin, good morning to you. Did you try and talk Mason out of this?
Nah, not at all. It was probably the opposite, really. I just think that... He needed a challenge, and as soon as football sort of, probably maybe didn't pan out as he liked, he was onto this, and 4 years sporting scholarship at University of Cincinnati's it's a pretty good deal.
It's going to be a great experience for him. When did he start thinking seriously about this?
In speaking to him, to be honest, in the last his last 12 months of TAC Cup or NAB League, he probably wasn't enjoying footy as much as I thought, and I sort of got that feeling. And then, so probably he's been at Pro Kick with Chappie and Johnny for about 6 months. So he's been doing it for about 6 months.
He's 6 foot seven, which is probably very tall for a punter over there in American football. Is that a disadvantage or an advantage in any way, do you think? Or do you know enough about the game to know whether or not that's the case?
I think a bit of an advantage, to be honest. I know that the Americans like everything, big and whatever else, but just when the ball snapped back, obviously, it's good to have a bit of reach just in case one goes a bit wayward. But I think he's just got the levers to, hit them pretty well. And I dare say he'll be in the gym for the first 12 months, getting a lot stronger and a lot bigger.
So what's the process now, Dusty? Like, obviously, there's been a bit of a hiccup with this whole pandemic. So is he over there now, or what's the situation? When does he go?
Yeah, just holding pattern at the moment with, obviously, with international travel and COVID. So they'll get him over there as soon as possible, as soon as it feels, it feels sort of a bit safer over there. So at worst, he'll have to wait till January. But at best, they're hoping to get him over in sort of August, where he can get stuck in the program straight away, because he might even wear the red shirt for the first season, because there's an Aussie punter there already, a young boy from Wangaratta. But ASAP, that's what we hope for.
And what was the whole Pro Kick experience like? I mean, Pro Kick is... I was reading an article about it in the last couple of days about their success rate in converting players into punters. I mean, what was that whole experience like?
Yeah, no, really good. I think, it's not just sort of, it's just going out there and kicking balls, but there is technique to it. A fair bit of consistency is, really what the key is. And, you're only going to see, Aaron Sipos is the latest one who's got a chance at the NFL level. So really well-run program, and to give these young kids a chance to get over to America and basically have everything paid for and enjoy the college life for 4 years, it's not a bad gig.
Oh, it sounds like a great gig. We're talking to Dustin Fletcher, whose son Mason is going to head off over to college football to punt. So what will he study, Dustin, while he's over there?
Yeah, he's probably going down the... I sort of try to edge him into, PE teaching and school teaching, but he's probably going to go into, a criminal course. He likes sort of that sort of area, whether it's criminal justice. He's going to go down that path, which is good.
And you're going to head over there at some stage and catch up with him too, once all this COVID-19 stuff eases a bit?
Yeah, I think we'll get over there and I might carry on a bit in the car park before the game, like they do, and have a few drinks. But I'm not going over there for 3 or 4 days and have to come back and have 2 weeks in quarantine. So I think I'd go mad doing that.
No, you would. And could you still launch one, do you think, Dustin, if you grabbed hold of the Sharon?
Oh, Sharon, I'm not bad on it. I've obviously had quite a few kicks with Mason with the American ball, and it is a different... Bit of a different beast, to be honest. I've had a few kicks with him, and my foot ends up bloody getting pretty sore. It's a really hard ball, you know what I mean? So, I think my time's well and truly done.
And you're doing a bit of tennis coaching now, Dusty.
Yeah, back at out there in camp, well at Willison Park. Doing some tennis coaching. Just started up actually last week once the restrictions ease. So, KangaTennisCoaching.com.au. Good fun. Yeah, I did played a lot of tennis growing up, and I really enjoyed being back out there on the court.
Hey, Dustin, Joey Danaher, if he came to you and asked you for a bit of advice, what sort of advice might you give him?
Oh, it's a tough one because, you know, for me, I think, you know, the injury he's got, towards the end of my career, to be honest, that was, I think, something that I was trying to deal with a little bit. And it's just one of those injuries that, you know, doesn't sort of look that bad. But, you know, out in the footy ground, when you really can't sprint and can't go and can't leap, it's obviously quite tough. But like everyone, I suppose, I'm just sort of hoping that he can get back out there. But things aren't sounding that great. But fingers crossed. And obviously the Danaher name around the Essendon Footy Club's a massive one over all those years. So I just want to see him back out there.
You carried a big name, though, a famous name at the Essendon Football Club, Fletcher, and you didn't really like the limelight too much. Can you sort of understand how somebody like Joey possibly, you know, feels like going to somewhere like Sydney might be a more suitable environment for him to play his footy?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, we're probably two different people, really, but I definitely can understand that side of it. And I'm not sure, and, you know, I'd love for him to stay. And, you know, I heard Lordy say yesterday that, you know, him up and about, a tall forward, kicking goals is, you know, we need one. So, and he's definitely that man. But the other side of it, sometimes a change is good for him, good for both parties. But, I want to see him get out there and, you know, really reach his potential.
And Dustin, Gary has said that he kicked 7 on you one day at the MCG in 2.5 quarters of football. Can you recall that clearly or not?
I'm not sure about that one, but I do recall, we're only speaking about it the other day to someone. I remember going down there as a young kid, and I think I did stand Gary, and I think it might have been, after Gary will probably know, might have been Brett Lovett, but I wandered down there and... Geez, I copped a fair old barrage from those two just for, in my first year. But,
Gary was a good player.
Gary, you took it out on the kid. He's playing his first year at 17 years of age. He's still going to school at Essendon Grammar. And you couldn't even hold back and with the sharp tongue with the kid coming down to pick you up.
Let me tell you something right now. I never kicked 7 goals on Dustin Fletcher, whether he was 17, 16 or 15. Mispy was a bloody good player. Hey, Dusty, what was the tennis mob again that if people want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, just KangaTennisCoaching.com.au, and we're at Willison Park in Camberwell. So it's some beautiful... courts out there, and it's been good fun so far.
Fantastic, mate. Good luck to young Mason, and we'll stay in touch, and we'll track his progress.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for having me on.
On you, Dustin.
You played against Peter Hudson twice in 1977, Wisp. He kicked 8 one game and 9 the next.
Right. My fault, was it?
No, I didn't play fullback,
Gary.
I'm just pointing it out. There was a question was asked. Hey, one of our favourites joins us on the line now. The man that I say premiership just following wherever he goes, Neil Barham from the Richmond Footy Club. Welcome, Barmy.
Chiefer, how are you, mate? And Tim, nice to hear from both of you.
Yes, hey, indeed. It's been, of all your wealth of experience in this game, you could never have imagined what we've been through the last 6 or 7 or 8 weeks. I mean, what's the challenge? What's the biggest challenge now for footy?
Oh, like always, it's just keeping calm and dealing with what's next and trying to stay in front of the thing. So, but it's been amazing. I've been that proud of the way the Australian people have dealt with it to give ourselves a chance to come through this, which I know sounds like a political thing to say, but I am. And the challenges are on footy. You should see that. I mean, you guys played a lot of footy, but stuff that these poor buggers have to go through to train and to be there and what you're going to not do. I mean, you know, we're doing things like, and when we play, they're not allowed to high-five each other. And you look at it, you go, I kind of get it, because it's more a posturing thing for everyone else to say, you know, be a bit careful about these things, but we've just let them tackle each other and jump on each other. So all those things are going to be really challenging for them. But as you say, the challenge will be just, you know, keep your mind on what you're doing, really stay calm about it, and take advantage of what you've got, particularly from Richmond's point of view, where, you know, we've kind of never been in a better place. We're going pretty well. Looks like it's a good opportunity this year to, you know, to challenge again. We've just got to make sure that we don't lose that opportunity, in a sense. Well, not lose it. That's a negative way to do it. But take the opportunity that this year gives us, as different as it is.
So what do you, what's your role? I mean, you've done everything, and I'm not saying this to embarrass you, but you, I mean, you could pick and choose your role there now. So what will you be doing sort of going forward?
Yeah, well, foolishly, at the end of last year, looked at where we were going and what we were doing, and we had two, you know, fantastic, relatively young guys in Tim Livingston and Blair Hartley virtually running, you know, the footy side of it. I was the GM of footy, and they were doing a lot of the work. And I went to Brendan at the end of it and said, look, I've encouraged these two kids to sign for another couple of years because we want to keep them here and make sure they don't, you know, obviously other clubs would probably be interested in them. And I said, so what do you think? And together we came up with the idea to give them both general manager responsibilities and their half of the footy, but do the decision-making and take that responsibility, but it's an important part of their development. And I was still going to be there to help them and be involved, but I was going to do a bit more work with Brendan on, you know, we're going to have punt road oval development and, you know, a few other things that I was going to help with, but still be around the place. But when COVID came in, it made it, you know, we had to make some very serious decisions on actual numbers, and, you know, we've only got 24 can go for training and all that. So obviously my role was not as hands-on. So, I mean, Blair himself isn't actually in the 24 either, because he's more responsible for list management than day-to-day stuff. So it's quite challenging, but I'm still pretty involved. I'm only a phone call away from him, but I'm a bit less involved than I thought. It's really only been created by the COVID thing rather than throwing me out, I think, or hopefully, anyway.
Hey, Barmy, you've been on our show before, and you've talked about Richmond and what you think has made Richmond special about this rebuild of the club. And we talked about the club, and you're a people person. And what's going on now? How detrimental is that to sort of the fabric of a football club, to have to sort of let people go that have been an integral part of your organisation?
Oh, yeah, awful, just awful. And because all we've got is people. But to be fair, we've treated everyone as so far as well as we can. It's not all over yet, I don't think. I mean, every time you talk to the AFL, you know, they've got some other ideas on what might happen next. And I really feel for them as well. I mean, how would you be trying to run all this? It's a bloody nightmare. But it is a challenge. But we, you know, there are some things we're just going to have to do, and we're not going to necessarily be able to keep everyone, but we would certainly prefer to. But and it'll definitely have an impact, because there's so much of what you are is how people trust you. You do what you say you're going to do, and at some of these cases, we won't actually quite be able to deliver on what we thought we were going to. So it'll certainly have an impact. But again, as Gary said at the start, what do you do now? Well, you deal with it as well as you can. You treat and you try and help them if they need to get somewhere else to get them somewhere else. And whilst in this climate, it's a bit harder to do that as well. So, I mean, you've got it quite right. It's a hell of a challenge.
And it's been reported this morning in The Age too that Marlon Pickett has applied for financial assistance from the AFL. What can the clubs do outside of the player's AFL salary that's not going to be deemed to be...
Yeah, it depends on who you are.
Right. Okay. So you're Marlon Pickett, what can you do?
Quite seriously, we've been doing a lot of work with the AFL particularly, and I'm pretty sure that will be resolved. But, I mean, the whole rookie thing is quite a challenge, particularly given these circumstances as well. It's, and particularly a kid like him, he's got a wife and four kids. It's not as though he's just on his own. Yeah. So we've been working very hard behind the scenes. We've got a couple of genuine opportunities for him to do, which are valuable for for both him and for the and for the community and for our club, which I'm pretty sure the AFL will respond positively to. I do feel for them a little bit too, because I mean everyone's got a great idea to spend money outside of the TPP, and a lot of them they do have to knock back, but they've been quite challenging on making sure that these are bona fide, and I'm pretty sure that we're in a position where that will happen. If it doesn't, I'll come back on the show next week and give them a cook. But I think we'll be able to do something for Marlon as well. It's been quite challenging though, and it's terrific that the Players Association are aware of his circumstances as well, and I'm pretty sure they will help him also.
So a lot of our audience, who, and it's not their fault, they don't live in the game like we do, are saying, well, why aren't Richmond helping him? Why can't they do that? And we sort of point out that there are these stringent rules that we all live by, but are these opportunities sourced outside of the Richmond Footy Club? Are they sort of business opportunities or promotional?
Associates of ours, particularly in with KGI, we can get him to do a hell of a lot of stuff. There's quite a few things that we think it'd be really helpful to us in. So I'm pretty sure that's the way it'll work itself out. But, I mean, you can kind of... I can understand why the AFL are so challenging, because it'd be very easy to come up with a reason to give everyone an extra 100 grand if you just want to pay him to keep him as a player. But, I mean, Marlon's circumstances are quite individual too. And he's a bit of an unusual one too, because he was so late in being picked up. And, you know, we only signed his contract 6 weeks before the grand final initially in the first place anyway, if you know what I mean. We've been trying to re-sign him, but we're not allowed to at the moment because of all of the COVID restrictions. So, I mean, in the end, that'll work out for him. But it's been a bit uncomfortable for him in the short term, but he'll be all right.
And just on that, the reporting of the story, I mean, this is not a story that has been broken. It's sort of almost been done in conjunction, has it not, with his manager and the footy club to try and alert?
I'm pretty sure. Well, it certainly wasn't our story. I'm pretty sure it was more than likely his manager just happened to be talking to someone, and I said, well, this is actually a story, particularly, I mean, in reality, the Marlon Pickett story is just unbelievable in itself. Yeah. The AFL is almost... They should be giving him $1 million for his story in reality, because nearly everything we spoke about for 2 weeks after the grand final involved him. So it is. It's a bit of an anomaly in that way too.
Hey, Bum, it's a changing world. Everything's on the table at the moment. The financial difficulties that are associated with the game, the whole idea of having a marquee player outside the normal salary cap has been floated. Can you see a world in which that would work?
Well, it doesn't really make sense in a lot of ways. It seems to be contrary to most things we're trying to do. But I do see, though, the reality now is that the world has changed, the finances will change, the TV deal could well change, and the deal that the players have negotiated relates to the TV deal, et cetera, et cetera. So all sorts of things may change, but you do feel for the guys who have signed the longer-term contracts, and all of a sudden someone's going to come back and say, sorry, mate, that doesn't work anymore. So I can see why there needs to be consideration for something like a marquee player or whatever, but I'm not sure. It's all too complicated for me. It's pretty challenging. I mean, I'm not in love with the idea of marquee players until they play. So it's a hard one, isn't it?
What about... It is a challenge. Yeah, Dimmer's spoken, and when Johnny Longmire, and we looked at the two different, and again, these were just answers to questions, so I'm sure there's a greater depth to it, but Dimmer said, well, we're ready to go, and you know, this next 3 or 4 weeks will be about sort of getting our game plan right and tweaking that, and Johnny Longmire was saying, well, we're going to use the 3 weeks to make sure from a physical preparation body, you know, that we're able to cope with what's ahead. Where would the priority lie for you?
Oh, I think it's all of it. That's what Damien is trying to say, is to get everyone there. We're ready to go, telling his players, we've got to be ready to go. You know, if you start saying, well, you know, there's this and there's that and there's this and there's that, and all of a sudden half your players are starting to think there's this and that. It was more kind of a positive thing that Damien was trying to say. But if you know him at all, you know that he's in the background. He's going through all of his detail, making sure that we are fit enough that we don't, you know, try and do too much too early, because we will finish up with injuries, et cetera, et cetera. But his public stance is very much about, look, whatever we need to do, we're doing, and we're ready to play anywhere. We'll play on the moon if we have to, but we want to play. And that reflects the fact that he thinks we've got a great opportunity just to make sure that we take advantage of the fact that we're the reigning premier, and we want to make sure we give ourselves the best chance of playing best.
Hey, we're talking to Neil Barham, who's the Well, he's just the overseer.
What is he?
He's the overseer at Richmond. Pretty cool.
He's the wearer of a very fine beard. That's what he is.
Yes, we're always impressed with that. Hey, last one, Barmy, before we let you go. These different rules that we're going to see employed over the next 16, 20 weeks, how many of those do you think will be retained beyond this? We're talking sort of shorter quarters and those sorts of things.
Yeah, well, I think it's never waste a crisis, they say. It's worth having a look at all those things. And they'll, we'll, you know, the AFL with us will kind of evaluate how they all are. If they work better, well, we'll keep them. My old man is long gone, sadly. He always used to have a saying way back in the old days even, you know why they call it Australian rules, don't you? Because they keep changing the bloody rules. So I reckon we'll keep changing the rules a bit. But I don't mind it, I must admit. You know, we do get stuck with some of these. Yeah, and then, you know, we even do things like we make sure the umpire bounces the ball. If it doesn't bounce straight, it's okay to throw it up then. So, I mean, we are likely not to change the rules, I think, in some ways. But I think the shorter quarter thing makes sense. It is a very, very challenging game. It's almost too long. It's okay for us because we're used to it, but it's probably too long in some ways. So I can see why that's a good idea. And then even now, if Channel somebody wants to show a few more ads at halftime, well, it's not a bad thing because you can remember as a player that halftime seemed to go a hell of a lot more quickly than it does when you're sitting watching. I don't mind those things, yeah.
Hey, great to talk to you as always, Barmy, and good luck when everything kicks off.
Oh, good on you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
On you, Barmy.
Neil Barm. And this message sums up Barmy. Barmy, calm, focus on what's next. Yep. Deflects to Tim Livingston and Blair Hartley. What a star. No wonder he's been successful. And we do concur there.
And this one from Calvin in Caulfield too. The Wisp handled that perfectly. Understood Gary has a special relationship with Barmy and pulled back very respectful.
News headlines, please. Sammy Doherty joins us. Welcome, Sam.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Good to talk to you, mate. How's the body? How are you feeling? What's it been like? All those questions that we've been asking for too long now, given there's been no footy, but we're interested nevertheless.
No, I'm going really well. Back training on Monday, which was really good to get back and just to be around a few of the boys for a bit. And rather than doing your session just by yourself or with one other person, you had another six or seven, so we got a bit more footy out, which is a lot better than just running around Noble. So, no, it's exciting times. We're back, so it's you can see the finish line now. We can see footy's nearly back, and we can see games nearly back, which is an exciting time for a player, that's for sure.
Is there any chance at all that this could have been good for you, given you know, you've missed so much footy, you get to, did a big pre-season, you get one good hit out. I know 7 or 8 weeks is a bit of a stretch, but was there a chance for you to reassess and just see how the body was tracking?
The preparation was so good through the pre-season that I was ready to go round one, but the time off, obviously giving the body just a bit of time to have a bit of a rest after the pre-season, but saying that, we had to train bloody hard over our break by ourselves to maintain our fitness and make sure that we came back ready to go, because we knew we weren't going to have a whole heap of time until we started to play games, so we had to come back completely ready to go to start training so we can get some good loads in before we run out there in round two.
Hey, Sam, you spent a bit of time in the coach's box while you were on the sidelines injured. Are you going to be like a playing coach now when the game resumes?
I'll probably just be a leader. That's probably essentially what a playing coach is these days. It's leadership's so important in today's footy, and I definitely think that I provide that when I'm playing. So that's the exciting thing about getting back playing footy. I don't like being viewed as a coach as much as it was fun for a couple of years. It's much better playing the game, and I'm excited to get back out there. Regardless, we've got a really hungry group that's ready to attack this year, and the circumstances have been a bit different, but we're pretty excited as a footy team.
Hey, Sam, did you think a lot about leadership before your injury, before that time you spent on the sidelines, or do you think a lot more about it while you're on the sidelines? And did it instruct you in any way to be a better leader when you came back?
Probably the two prior years before I got injured, I really started to get in a real thirst for leadership and learning about it. I was already in the leadership group at that stage, so I had aspirations, but it wasn't probably once I had my injury that sort of gave me a good time to reassess what type of leader I am and how I can be better. And there's a lot of stuff that I could do, stuff which I really got to work at for a couple of. So that was a, it was a good stepping stone and a good to get out of my time off. And first and foremost, as a leader, you've got to perform and you've got to get your job done on game day. So that obviously comes as playing. So that's the exciting bit at the moment. I get that. Hopefully the work that I've done off field assists me in that role.
Hey, we always think the experienced players such as yourself, you know, would have had a good handle of what they needed to do during that 7 or 8 weeks when they were on their own or training in, you know, in twos. What about the younger guys? First year, second year? I mean, Brody Kemp was a highly rated kid that you've taken. Sam Phillip, those sorts of blokes. How have they been able to cope during this off period?
We're really lucky as a footy team that we've got Andrew Russell as our high performance manager. He put a really good program in with a really good explanation of why we did everything. So guys had an understanding of what they were actually trying to get out of the session. So most of the boys trained in twos, and we encouraged that as much as we could so that there's someone to keep each other accountable with. And we had everyone was checking in. We had small groups that worked pretty close together, which I thought worked really well, rather than trying to get across everyone in the team. There was a sort of a small group that you tried to get across, and that worked really well. But in the end, it's part of being a professional footballer is being able to get your job done and get your program and make sure you do it to the best of your ability, so that inevitably when you do come back to training, you don't miss a beat. And the difference with this one is guys knew that if they didn't get their program right over the break, they weren't going to have the time to get themselves ready for inevitably what was a game in 3 weeks. So there was an added incentive on that.
And Matty Cruiser, to that end, at the other end of the spectrum, been around long enough, hurt himself in the first game. How's he tracking?
Yeah, he's going pretty well. I spoke to him the other day. He's obviously not doing a whole heap at the moment. He's just resting and recovering. He's got a newborn at home, so they're keeping him flat out when he's sitting down, won't be able to escape it. So no, but he's going really well. We're hopeful that he might be able to get a late season return, but it's sort of, as with most injuries, you just have to wait and see and make sure that all the recovery ticks off and all the steps that he needs to go through, he can tick off. But going really well other than that.
Any soft tissue injuries yet at Carlton? We've been led to believe that the Melbourne Storm have warned everybody about coming back to full-time training and pushing yourselves harder than you've done in a period of time. Have you sustained any of those injuries yet at Carlton?
No, none at the footy club. Andrew Russell gave us a really intense last probably 2 week block before we knew we were coming back, so that we can come in train as ready as we could. So the boys are looking really good, and it's exciting as a leader knowing that all the guys did their program to a really high ability and have got their body in good condition so that we can attack these 3 weeks and get a good crack at round two.
Are you looking forward to the contact training next week?
I'm just looking forward to getting some footy back. Contact training is part of footy and part of what we love. We love competing, and it's probably been one of the things that I've really missed over the last 8 weeks is competing against my teammates and competing against opposition. So any step we can get back to playing full footy, I'm pretty excited about, to be honest.
Good to talk to you, Sammy. The members have been fantastic as well, as is a lot of AFL supporters have stuck with their footy clubs, and the Blue Baggers have done particularly well, we're told.
Yeah, no, our members have been absolutely outstanding. We've had a growing membership base over this time, which shows how much our members care about the footy club, and inevitably they are the lifeblood of our club. So thank you to everyone that has signed on, and it's a journey we've all been on, and everyone's sort of going through their own bits and pieces at the moment, but have their support. Absolutely amazing.
Good on you. Good. Thanks for joining us this morning, mate, and good luck when it does get underway.
Thank you very much, lads.
Sammy Doherty, co-captain, Carlton Footy Club. He did some work with us, ACN Footy, last year, Wispy. Some good commentary stuff. Very good. Yep. Absolutely outstanding. So they're in very good hands from a leadership point of view. Now, you did play against Peter Hudson, Wisp. I've just had a look at it.
Right.
Round 11, 1977. What did Hutto? Let's see how Hutto went. He kicked 8. Had a lazy 8, Hutto. 16 kicks, 8 marks, 2 handballs for 8 goals.
You'd think I'd remember that, wouldn't you?
Let's see what the Wisp is. Wisps had the 6 kicks, the 1 handball.
I remember that game. I sacrificed my game. I played a decoy half forward that game. And you're familiar with the decoy role because we talked about that yesterday.
Don't get nasty just because it didn't fall out as well as you would have liked. I'll try and find a better example. Neil Barham's going to join us next from the Tigers.